Welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. And now at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Joseph Lamb. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Swain, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is troubleshooting database and connection pooling problems in WebSphere Application Server 6.0. Today's presenter is Tuyen Pham. Tuyen Pham is an advisory software engineer working as a team leader for IBM WebSphere Application Server L2 Support Group in RTP, North Carolina. Tuyen has more than 17 years of experience in the IT industry, where she spent the last 13 years providing technical support and consulting in the fields of databases, development tools, and application servers. Tuyen also had 4 years of experience as a software engineer involved in the development of an application code generator and various financial applications. Before joining IBM in RTP 5 years ago, Tuyen worked for DataDirect Technology, Oracle, and Software AG of Canada. Tuyen holds a Bachelor of Mathematics degree, joined honors in the field of computer science, combinatronic, and optimization from the University of Waterloo in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Tuyen.
Thank you, Joseph. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tuyen Pham, and today I'm going to walk you through the troubleshooting database and connection pooling problem. Slide number two. So in today's webcast, I'm going to talk about WebSphere relational resource adapters and what are the common problems with the relational resource adapter. And at the second part, I will talk about WebSphere connection pooling and the common problem with the connection pooling. Slide 3, relational resource adapter. Slide 4, before I talk about relational resource adapter, I just want to talk a little bit about what is a resource adapter. The resource adapter basically is just a system-level software driver that enables the Java application to talk to the enterprise information system. So it provides the connectivity between your application to the back-end data store. It could be relational database or it could be non-relational database. Slide number 5. So what are the relational resource adapters? The relational resource adapter is basically is a JCA, and JCA stands for J2EE connector architecture, version 1.5 compliant, and is shipped with WebSphere application server. Implement the CCI, which stands for Common Connection Interface contract, to an outbound resource adapter, as is defined in the JCA 1.0 or 1.5 specification. It supports the configuration and the view of the data source implemented either JDBC data source or it's a JCA connection factory. Slide number 6. Okay, so the relational resource adapter, it comes pre-installed within WebSphere application server starting version 5.0. It provides access to the relational databases, DB2, Oracle, Sybase, SQL Server, Informix, etc. And from the admin console, you can see how the relational resource adapters are installed by going to resources, resource adapters, and then you will see WebSphere relational resource adapter. Even though you can see the configuration setting there, but you are not allowed to change it. Slide 7. So what are the JDBC providers? In order for the application to make a connection to the back-end database, the application has to go through the JDBC provider. So the JDBC providers provide you the implementation class to access to your specific relational database. It will create a pool of the connection to the database to the view of the data source. So the JDBC provider and the data source object are functionally equivalent to the JCA connection factory, which provides the connectivity to a non-relational database. Slide number 8. WebSphere just supports quite a large number of database and JDBC drivers. For each of the version of WebSphere, we do have the list of the current database that we support. So to see that list, please go to the link I provided on this page. Slide number 8. JDBC driver configuration. From the administrative console within WebSphere, you can go to resources and then JDBC provider. I just want to emphasize the important parameters when you create a JDBC provider. There are three important parameters here. The class path basically is the place that where you define the job file associated for your JDBC provider. The native library path is a list of the paths that contain the native library code. This native library path is only needed for the Type 2 JDBC driver. It doesn't require for Type 4. The first important one is the implementation class name. It's a Java class name of the JDBC driver implementation. This class is available in the driver Java file, as it's mentioned in the class path. Line number 10. So what happens if you have the database that is not supported by IBM Wesley Application Server? From our support standpoint, we said that we will try our best effort. If you have a JDBC driver out there or a database that's not listed in our prereq page, if the JDBC driver implements the data sort interface defined by Sun Microsystems for connection pooling, and the two interfaces are connection pool data source and the SA data source, if the JDBC driver supports C2, it should work with Web3 application server. Slide 11. For example, if you have a unsupported database, Teradata, for example, how do you make it work with WebSphere? Basically, you have to go to define the user-defined JDBC provider. And in the implementation class, you have to choose the class that implements the interface connection pool data source. In the example I give on this slide, for the INET Opta JDBC driver, the implementation class for the connection pool data source is a COM, INET, CDS, X data source. You have to check with the JDBC vendor. If you don't know what the class that implements the connection pool data source, you can check with the database vendor or the JDBC driver vendor that provides the implementation. Slide 12. Okay, just go back from the previous slide. I just want to give one important point. For example, even though Sybase is one of the relational database that Wesley Application Server supports, if you use the IPv6, it doesn't work with WebSphere, so you still have to go through the user-defined JDBC provider in order for the Sybase Share Connect version 6 for your IPv6 support to get the driver to work with WebSphere. And there is a tech note out there. The tech note, it gives you the instruction on how to configure the user-defined for the Sybase version 6 to work with WebSphere application server. It's just one thing about this Sybase version 6 to work with IPv6. Normally, if you go to the user-defined JDBC driver, you have to write your own custom data store helper class. But with the exception for this Sybase v6, you have to use the Sybase data store helper class. So back to slide 12, the data source you use to obtain the connections to the relational database. It is the same with the JSCA connection factory. It provides the connectivity to other non-relational database. I just want to emphasize that WebSphere does not provide any other resource adapters like IMS, SAP. You have to get the resource adapter from the vendor that supports those EIS. So the data source is associated with a specific JDBC provider that provides the implementation class that provides the connectivity to the back-end database. You can have multiple data sources with different settings associated with the same JDBC provider. Slide 13. I'm sort of jumping ahead on this slide. Basically, I just want to let you know that prior to WebSphere version 5, we do have the connection manager architecture. It provides the connection to the database using the old architecture. That connection manager from the version 4 still exists in version 5 and above, mainly to support the application that is J2EE1.2. So starting from WebSphere version 5, we do have a new connection manager architecture. It's based on the JSCA connection architecture. So basically with WebSphere version 5 and higher, we do have two different types of data sources. So in order for the application to work properly, you have to choose the right data source for it. Slide 14. This slide basically is the information for you in order to determine what is the right data source to you. If basically, if you have a J2EE 1.2 application, you have to use version 4 data source. If your application is 1.3 or higher, then you just use the version 5. If you don't use the correct data source, you will get some error message printed out in your systemout.log. Slide 15. So how do you create data source? From the administrative console, you go to resources and then JDBC provider, and then you already previously create those JDBC providers. You can select the JDBC provider that you created, and under the additional property, you click on the data sources link with your application. And when you go into that data source, you can create a custom property for that data source. Slide 16. For each of the JDBC providers to the back-end database, there are a number of required parameters for the data source. So I would advise you to check our Info Center at the link provided on the slide 16 to get the minimum number of required parameters for your data source. Slide 17. Okay. Sometimes if you try to add a custom property to your data source, you need to know if they are valid or not. So what you should do is check the systemout.log for the DSRA message. For example, if you see that DSRA 8020E with the warning, it says the property set Bigstream Triclops do not exist on the data source class, and that's the Oracle Connection Pool data source. This particular error is indicate that the custom property Bigstream to cloud is not valid to the Oracle JDBC driver. So you have to check, make sure you have a correct spelling. If that particular set method exists on the Oracle JDBC driver. Slide 18. Here I give some tips for our Oracle JDBC driver. Sometimes there is some of the functionality is not working from the default JDBC driver, and Oracle vendors seem to have some of the connection property to work around the problem. So how do you go about create those connection property using the data source in Web3 application server? What you need to do is to go to that data source and create a custom property with the correct spelling, with the name value pair, and in the name field you will create with the value called connection property with a small c, capital P. And in the value, you specify that connection property. You can specify multiple connection property by using semicolon as a delimiter. And in the example, I basically provide two of those connection properties for Oracle. Slide 19. Some of the important thing when you use the Type 2 JDBC driver. Oracle OCI is a Type 2 driver. DB2 Legacy is a Type 2 driver. DB2 Universal JDBC, it can be Type 2 or Type 4. Because of the Type 2 JDBC driver, its nature is require some of the native code, and it also have a certain of the other environment variable to be set. For example, for Oracle, it needs to have Oracle underscore home to be defined, because that where it will try to find the tnsname.org. And for DB2, it needs to have a DB2 instance that it will tell DB2 where to look for the database name. And for those, if you see that because it's required to have a native library path, and the native library path is normally defined using different variables based on different operating systems. LG library path is for Solaris. In the speaker note, I give an environment variable name for each of the operating systems. Slide 20. So what are the common configuration problems of using the relational resource adapter? Slide 21. Before we go to the common problem with the relational resource adapters, I would like to have this slide basically talk about the common class loading exceptions. They are class cat exception, class not file exception, no class death file exception, unsatisfied link error. I would advise that you go to our information center for Web3 application version 6 under section class loading exception. It has a very good explanation and tips on troubleshooting those problems. Slide 22. So what are the class loading exceptions that common to the relational resource adapters? Class not file exception. This is one of the common ones. Basically, it tells you that the class that we are trying to use is not found in the class loader. So what you need to do to make sure that the class path is correct and the jar file for the JDBC provider exists, and you must have the access permission to the server where the application associated with the data source is running. one key thing is if the in the class path for your JDBC provider, you use the environment variable, make sure that environment variable is defined and set at the right scope. WebSphere, we do have three different scoping, the cells, the node, and the server. And the server is the one, if you have the variable defined at the three different scopes, then the one at the lowest level, the server, will take the precedent over the other two. From the WebSphere Administrative Console, you can define the variable by going to environment and then WebSphere variable. Slide 23. The second common one, class loading, is class path exception. Basically, you have more than one class being loaded in our class loader. What you need to do to resolve this, you have to make sure there's only one copy of the jar file for the driver being loaded. When you get this type of error, make sure you search your file system, ideally starting from WebSphere install root, to make sure there are no duplicates of the jar file. Be careful about those, because sometimes the JDBC driver vendor, they provide the default name. For example, Oracle, they do classes 12.zip. And DB2, we have db2.tcc.jar. But sometimes people rename those jar files, so it's really hard for you to find. So you may want to find some utility out there that's available that you can look for a certain class within those jars. You probably have more luck to find the duplicate than just searching the jar file. And another important thing is just make sure that your application gear file did not include the JDBC driver jar file. We see a lot of problems that applications try to bundle the JDBC driver jar file that caused the class path exception. Slide 24. The next common thing is unsatisfied link error. The JVM, the Java Virtual Machine, for the application will fill the unsatisfied link error when it cannot find the native library. So the unsatisfied link error only occurs if you're using the Type 2 JDBC driver because it depends on the native library path. Sometimes you may get the unsatisfied link error even though you have the native library path defined, but because there is a mismatch between the JDBC driver and the native library path. For example, the driver you install or WebSphere version that you install is 32-bit application server, and you try to load the 64-bit native library path. That will cause the unsatisfied link error as well. Slide 25. So here is just the common solutions how to resolve the unsatisfied link error. Make sure the native library path for your JDBC driver have the path of the where the native code is, and make sure you use the right native library for it. If you WebSphere 32-bit application server, you have to use 32-bit JDBC driver and vice versa. Check the systemout.log for WebSphere application server for the unsatisfied link error, and then look at the text. It will give you the path to the native library. I put a sample of the error in the speaker note so you can take a look at that. 26. There is some of the limitation and no problem with the relational resource adapter within WebSphere application server. Right now, up to version 6.1, WebSphere only supports one version of JDBC driver to be used within our application server. For example, if you define two different JDBC providers for Oracle, one is with an 8.1.7 and another one with the 10G, for example. So it depends on which data source or which JDBC driver being loaded first. That is the version it will be used for your application server. And do not bundle the JDBC driver jar file within your application. Then another thing for the Oracle. The Oracle 10G officially supports starting in WebSphere version 6. Prior to that, starting in version 5.1.1.2, we do support it, and we create an Oracle 10G data store helper class for it. So if you use a 10G JDBC driver, make sure you use the right data store helper class for it, because this Oracle 10G data store helper, it takes care of this performance problem that Oracle had with the NIAI. So it's really important that you use the corresponding data store helper class for the 10G. Slide 27. Okay, there's some tips on how to check for the JDBC driver version. Sometimes we WebSphere Level 2 support will ask for the version of the JDBC driver being used. The jar file name itself, it doesn't tell us the version. and some of the JDBC driver vendors still have a main class that you can execute from the Java command to get the version. For example, the DB2 Universal JDBC driver or the Web3 Embedded Connect JDBC driver that you can execute. That command that I put on the slide to get the version. But a lot of other JDBC drivers, they don't have that. So what you can do is you can create a standalone Java program. Basically, you register the driver and you get the connection to the driver and create the metadata, and then you can print out the version of it. So this is just when you cannot make a connection to the data in WebSphere. Otherwise, if you, in your application, if you successfully make a connection to WebSphere, then WebSphere will print out the version in the systemout.log, and you can search for the keyword JDBC space driver. You will see the version number printed there. Slide 28. Some of the tools that are available in WebSphere to troubleshoot the class loader problem. WebSphere provides a class loader viewer from the administrative console. You go to troubleshooting and you see class loader viewer. This class loader viewer, it has a search function that you can use to search for class loader for the specific string, specific jar, and the name of the file in the specific directory, the name of the file being loaded by a certain class loader. So I would advise that you get familiar with this tool, help you to troubleshooting the class loader problem. Slide 29. So the next part, we're going to talk about connection pooling. Hey, 30. The JET2C components, as we use interchange with the connection pooling connection manager, it is a web implementation of the JSA 1.5 specification. It provides you the connection pooling. So it defines a system-level contract, the inbound contract for the message provider to connect to the endpoint and for the WebSphere to make the connection to the resource adapter. Hey, 31. Here are just some of the interactions from the JET2C with some other component of WebSphere. Basically, the JET2C, it will call to the transaction manager, security, resource adapters. It's called by the resource adapters, system management, GNDI lookup, slide 32. So you will hear me talking interchangeably with the connection manager and JET2C. They basically the connection pooling manager. So the connection manager architecture for both relational and procedure access to the EIS is based on the JET2C specification. It pool and manage the connection within the application server. It manages the connection obtained to the resource adapter or to the JDBC connection. And WebSphere provides the relational resource adapter. It allows you to connect to the relational database to the JDBC provider. Slide 33. So what are the common problems with the connection pooling? Slide 34. The connection wait timeout exception. This is the most common problem that we see in WebSphere application server. So what are the costs of having the connection wait timeout? It could be the pool is not configured big enough to handle the load. So what you need to do is just review your connection pool to make sure that the maximum number of connections of a given pool is not set too low, or your connection timeout is not set too low. When the application gets a connection, but it does not close the connection, we consider this as a connection leak. Because when the connection leak occurs, it's just no connection not being returned to the connection pool for reuse. So that caused the user request for the connection to wait, and eventually they will get the connection wait timeout. Slide 35. Connection wait timeout exception, it can occur when you have servlets that are migrated from version 2.2 to version 2.3. The tech note titled Server Connection to Database Fails After Migration from WebSphere Application Server version 4 to version 5 and later. It gives you a very good problem. Basically, with the servlet 2.3 and together with the new architecture of WebSphere Connection Managers, we change how the connection being handled. With the version 2.2, the connection, after the servlet gets the connection, and as soon as it's done, we return that connection back to the pool for review immediately. with the 2.3 and later with the new concept of a shareable and unshareable connection, those connections will not be returned to the pool, which caused the pool to running out and then the application waiting for the connection to get the connection wait time out. So this technique is have a very good explanation on the symptoms you may see with this particular problem. And it also have the workaround for them. Slide 36. As I mentioned briefly on the previous slide, the connection leak. The connection leak it occurred when the application knew the connection, but it never called the close method. So the connection will never be returned to the pool for reuse. When the connection leak occurs, your application may receive the connection wait timeout exception. And as you see right there, there are two different packages for the connection wait timeout exception. The first one is just the old Westfield 4.0 data source style, and the second one is just for the new data source style. Page 37. How do you troubleshoot connection leaks? That's what Westfield version 5 would improve our trace a lot. There is a trace specification called ConLeakLogic. You can enable that. It will trace the detail of your get connection, and it gives you the stack trace. It tells you how long the connection being used. This particular trace string also included if you enable the WAS.tier2c trace. So you can use the ConLeakLogic by itself, or you can enable the WAS.tier2c and have everything. Slide 38. Another common problem is you will see many connections to the back-end resource. Just remember that each of the connection pool for the connection data source, we maintain a separate pool for it, and each of the JVM or application server will have its own pool for each of the data source. So, for example, if you have a cluster of three servers which use the same data source, and then the maximum number of connections for the data source is set to 10. So you potentially would see up to 30 connections to your back-end database. So you have to make sure that your database is configured in such a way that can handle that many connections to the back-end. If you use the enterprise Java Bean, each of the entity bean transaction is requiring additional database connection. It dedicates to handling the transaction as well. So you have to make sure you add all those and then configure your back end properly. Slide 39. Deadlock. That's another common problem within when we use connection pooling. Basically, applications require more than one concurrent connection per thread. For example, you have 10 servlets that run concurrently, and each of those servlets potentially take up to two connections. So after each of the threads get the connection, you have all the connection in the pool, and when the thread tries to get the second connection to it, but no connection available in the pool, so they ended up sitting there and wait. So that is the deadlock situation. So how do you troubleshooting deadlock? You need to collect the set of Java core. Go to our Webfield support main site and search for Hangs, and then look into the must-gather data. We do have instruction on how to obtain the Java core or heap dump. IBM still have a tool called IBM Threat and Monitor Dump Analyzer for Java technology. It's a tool that analyzes the Java core, and it gives you the stack trace, what the monitor threat is, and what the deadlock situation is. So it's a good tool to use in conjunction with your Java core. So what do you do if you see a deadlock situation like this? You may need to consider to increase your maximum connection to the value for your database connection to at least one higher than the number of threads. Slide 40. High number of connection handles. Westfield version 5, we do, with the new connection manager architecture, we do have the concept of shareable and unshareable connections. I provide some reference at the end. Basically, it have a good discussion on what is the unshareable and shareable connection. Our info center also have a good discussion on the difference between the two. So basically, for unshareable, basically the connection being viewed and returned, there's only a one-to-one relationship between the connection handle and the physical connection. The connection handle, when the application tries to get the connection handle is the one being returned to the application by the connection manager. So it's a one-to-one relationship between connection handle and the physical connection. For the shareable connection, because the connection being shared by many different components, there is an end-to-end relationship between the connection handle and the physical connection. But right now in WebSphere, we don't have a way to put the limit on the number of connections handled for shareable connection. So in theory, it can be unlimited. It's based on your CVM heap size, the resource. So if you have application get a shareable connection and it takes a lot of connection handle, your JVM heap size may run out and you may see some error in the native gender error. Slide 41. Another common problem we see is the authentication data configuration. We start with WebSphere version 5. We have a concept of Tier 2C authentication alias. Basically, it's a user ID and password. The most common problem we see is the missing of the J2C authentication alias define your data source. There's the application versus container in the resource authentication. When you create the J2C authentication alias, if you create to the admin console, you don't have to restart your application server, but your data source still works fine. But if you create them to the WS admin scripting, after you create the Tier 2C authentication alias, your data source cannot see that. There is an APAR, it's a PK03287. It allows you to dynamically update the Tier 2C authentication data at runtime. So if you look into this APAR, it gives you the WS admin command that you can run to update that Tier 2C authentication alias for you immediately without restart your application server. Page 42. So what is the common problem with the connection pooling in terms of programming? Improper caching of the connection handle. WebSphere do not recommend application to cache the connection handle because then WebSphere do not know how to handle those. Indirect GNDI lookup, that's how we recommend J2EE application to use. So if your application still use direct GNDI lookup, you will see the J2CA 122i messages in the systemout.blog. It indicates that your application doesn't have the resource reference created, so it will use the default. And you may not want to use the default because there is some of the value it's being set is not what you wanted. So I would recommend to you change your application to use the indirect GNDI lookup for it. Spinning thread from the resource adapters, again, application running within WebSphere should not spin its own thread, and then because those connections being handled from those spawn threads is not managed by WebSphere, that's caused to the leak of the connection. LTC scope issues. LTC stands for the local transaction containment. Again, this is a new thing in WebSphere version 5. We do have a concept of the local transaction containment. So the problem that common seeing that is just, you know, the servlet get multiple connections than is really needed. And the connection being reserved for a long period of time, we do have a tech note, it's 121.7062, and the developer work article titled Default Behavior of Managed Connection in WebSphere Application Server, it gives you a very good information about those common problems. It also gives you some tips on how to analyze the traits if you enable them. Slide 43, self-connection exceptions. This one is not new to us. Since WebSphere version 3.0, we do have a self-connection exception. This is the IDM WebSphere application specific exception. It indicates that the connection currently being held is no longer valid. WebSphere Info Center have a very good discussion on it, how to detect the self-connection exception and how to recover from those. When the application gets stale connection exception, and if it's coded in such a way to handle that, there should be no problem. Stale connection exception is not something you have to worry. It's just there a hiccup in the network, and the application should recover pretty well if it's coded appropriately. If you get a stale connection exception and you don't think you should get it, make sure you check the timeout setting on your connection pooling. if there is a firewall timeout setting, make sure the firewall timeout setting is greater than the connection timeout in your pool. Otherwise, the firewall timeout, if you set it too short, it will disconnect your network connection. Sometimes you get the jail connection because of a certain query to the back-end database. Some database, JDBC driver, did not react well to a certain query. Instead, just giving some exception, SQL exception, it disconnects the connection to the database. So you may want to examine that query, and we may work with the database vendor to see if that's the correct behavior or not. Jail connection exception, when you get that, you may want to check to see if you have a potential network problem as well. Slide 44. Statement cache, if you notice, in when you define the data short in Web3 application server, it have a statement cache size. Basically, it will cache both prepared statement and callable statement to the database, so to improve the performance. But some, the deep will cache 10 prepared or callable statement for your data stored. Sometimes, if your application, you experience problem, like the first time you execute the query, it works fine, but the second time it fails, there is potential that some problem with the statement cache. What you could try is just try to disable the cache to see if it works. But again, if disable the cache works, then you may contact IBM Web Level 2 support for it. Slide 45. This is just some of the debug procedure for connection managers. You start out by searching the systemout.log for the application server for J2CA messages to see if the trade really needed. If it is, then you may need to enable them on the affected server and recreate the problem. Slide 46. WebSphere provides a collector tool that you can run to gather some of the important files in WebSphere. The configuration file of interest to the connection pooling in the resources.xml for the connection factory and data source configuration. Again, there are three levels of the resources can be defined, server, node, and the cell. So make sure you check the resources at the right scope. I do have a lot of customers running into the WebSphere portal environment. They do have like server one, and then they have the WebSphere portal. You have to make sure you look into the right server for it. If you have the resource adapter configuration, then you look into the RA.xml file. If you have the resource reference data problem, you look into the IBM binding file and the IBM EJB by XMI or IBM Web by XMI. They contain the resource reference data for your EJB application or the web application. Again, EJB jar XMLs or web XML if you have the problem with the resource authentication problem. Slide 47. Okay, here's slide. It gives you some of the trade specification for J2C, a connection pooling problem. The was.j2c equal all, or the RRA problem is the capital RRA. JDBC driver is a was.database. They are the trade string for it, but for the JDBC drivers, sometimes, depend on which JDBC provider you're using, you may need to get the debug version of the JDBC driver. For example, the underscore G, if you use for Oracle. For DB2 or Sybase, I think they have everything. For Informix, they do have a separate version for the debug stuff. In here, I did not put the 4.0 connection manager trace because we hope that you migrate your application to the J2E E1.3 or higher. But if you need to get the trace string for the version 4, it should be com IBM EGS CM star equal all. Slide 48. Okay, so when you get the trace, what do you do with it? You can try to find the primary error. They all start with J2CA. And you can identify is it a problem with the connection manager or the resource adapters, and look for the thread that involved into the error, and then follow up the progress of that thread leading up to the problem, and identify the problem from there. Slide 49. So we gone to the common problem in troubleshooting the configuration within the JDBC provider and data source. And we go through the common problem and how to troubleshoot the connection pooling. Slide 50. On this reference page, I give you the link to a free developer work article on sharing connection in WebSphere application version 5, the database authentication in version 5, and the default behavior of the managed connection that potentially take the connection leak or the connection wait time out. It has the spec piece called the JJ connection problem determination as well. Hey, 51. Okay, this chart includes the link to a number of sites that provide available online resources for WebSphere products. The developer work offers in-depth technical information. The event link on the support page points you to a webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up and learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is a passport advantage client to open, update, and view the PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support page lets you sign up for weekly email updates and product of interest to you. So this concludes my presentation for today.
At this point, Wayne, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Take our first question from Anand.
Hi. That's a good presentation. My question is regarding the connection pool leak. I'm a performance engineer, and my concern is that, say, I see a connection leak. Looking at the performance impact of that, how to look at the trace logs, because the trace logs, you said trace all, would be humongous logging. I want to make it much less logging and then still be able to see the impact on that. Now, I use Simulink Performance Monitor as one way to look at the memory utilization. I'm looking at similar tool where I see a connection leak and how does it manifest itself.
Hi, Anand. You are right. If you enable the trace star equal all, you can enable, it definitely will impact the performance of your application. We do have a smaller set of trace string. It's a conflict logic that you can enable. That will have smaller set of trace. That every time, every 10 seconds or so, it will print out the stack of the tray of the where you can identify the piece of code that hold on to the connection. So I think that will help you identify which piece of the applications are getting the connection and not released to the pool. Yeah, so it will have less impact to your performance.
Excellent. Thanks. Now, is there any tool like Tivoli Performance Monitor? Does TPV be able to even monitor the connection pooling too? I mean, as far as the leak is concerned?
No. The TPV does not do the leak. No,
yeah.
It doesn't. It just basically it helps you to measure the performance time. That's how the response time, but it doesn't help you with the leak. The leak, you have to enable that trace. And then from the tray, you can determine what piece of the application get the connection and how long it hold on to that connection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
And we'll next go to Rod Musher.
Hi. We were wondering how you configure your connection to be shareable or unshareable.
Hi, Ron. By default, the connection is shareable in WebSphere version 5 and up. If you want your connection to be unshareable because the way the servlets have been changed or how the application, and sometimes we recommend you to try using unshareable connection. The only way you can do that is create a resource reference, and you can use the AST tool to do that. Basically, it's resource reference is the only way that allows you to configure your application to use unshareable connection.
Okay, so it's something that gets specified in the deployment descriptor then?
Correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
That appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to the speakers for any additional closing remarks.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, our replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today.